live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 177. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon, man? What's going on, Crossroads listening and audience, man? I'm glad to be in the house, man. I know we got a lot to cover. And, football, we are in the middle of football madness, man. And I know we got a lot to cover, man. So, without further ado, Brandon Reif, give us the show rundown.
Absolutely. Big show this evening. We've got college football preview. Tonight we're going to take some of the conferences. So before half of you get in a tissy, you didn't talk about my SEC or you didn't talk about my Big 12 or the combination of the two. Relax. Tonight, half of college football, we've got the Big Ten, ACC, MAC, and Pac-12. NFL-wise, we're going to preview the AFC conference this week. Next week, we'll cover the NFC as well as the Big 12, the SEC conference or so. My gosh, John, we got a great show tonight lined up. We got some quick hitters, a little NBA news. NASCAR and IndyCar were both here this past weekend and a crazy racing weekend. But before we get started, John, we got a call already. We got to bring our boy in. We haven't talked to him in a while. Sweet Lou, what's going on?
Hey, guys, I thought you forgot about me. Thanks.
No, not at all. How can you forget about you, Sweet Lou? How you been, bud?
All right. Yeah, I tried to get on at 7 o'clock, but, I wasn't able to get through.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I saw you one week, but we had another caller to time. By the time he hung up, you were there. But, Sweet Lou, we were talking. Baseball season's underway as we get to the race. The Mets are dying. The Yankees are getting hot.
Dying,
NFL's
right.
Upon us.
What happened? If you go back to the beginning of the year, the Mets were on fire. Nobody can stop them. They were unbeatable at home. And they were, seven or eight games already up in first place ahead of their next opponent. Now they're a game below 500. You want to talk about crash and burn. This is crash and burn.
Yeah. Hey, say,
Lou. But remember, they're without their starting pitchers, and ever since then, that sort of thing has caused a problem. You had your two starting pitchers, and when they went down, so did the rest of the team. I mean, that's what happens sometimes.
I think they're just playing it easy with the fans in New York and just Met fans. I think he's done for the season. I think they just don't want to say it.
I think so, too.
Okay.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think they went about it and said, maybe we'll weather the storm and everybody will be happy. And because they really haven't went in depth with what the hell his injury is and how long he's going to be out for.
First it was 2 weeks, and then it's going to be now another 2 weeks. When I really think they're just, thinking, well, as much as we don't want to say it, the ground is done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, looking around at the crosstown, the Bronx Bombers, they're starting to get a little hot. Swept the Red Sox yesterday. They're starting to get their hitting and their pitching together.
I know.
What did you think of the Field of Dreams game?
Oh, man, great game. But the best games I think baseball's had in a long time. I mean, some people say it was a gimmick. But I don't look at it that way. It was a special game and whatnot, and this is something people wanted to see. Was it happy with the end result? No, of course not. But, it drew a lot of fan interest, and they're going to do it again next year. Now, I don't know if year by year it's going to have the same impact as it did this year, but they can keep it going. I think it'd be, nice to see. But first of all, let's see if we're going to have a season next year or how long it's going to be delayed for.
Yeah, I think next year with the Reds and Cubs, I'm a Reds fan, and it's going to be good to see them in it, but I think both the Reds and the Cubs are in a bad situation in this game because it was a Hollywood ending to a game. The excitement level, maybe the balls were a little juiced for it, but I don't think they can live up to the hype And as well as all the pregame nostalgia, you can't get Kevin Costner to come out of the corner. It's not going to have that same feel next year as it had this year.
No.
So.
No, you won't. That's, you know, this was a special thing, and that's what we have. And now I even heard that they're looking to turn Field of Dreams into a series. Oh, 30 years later, now you want to turn it into a series? Oh, sure.
I just watched it the other night again, so I was – had to recap
yeah,
it. It's been a while.
But now they want to make a TV series out of it.
I go, of course. Hey, yeah, you got to capitalize
right.
when you can, I guess.
Well,
Lou,
I don't think it'd be as good as Friday Night Lights. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Lou, I got to ask you before we move on. Football's ahead of us, Jets and Giants. You're our Northeast guy. You're our metropolis of New York correspondent. So, for eggs in the basket, was Wilson there in Jetland, or what to expect with this kid?
It's too soon to tell. I mean, okay, he had a good outing, you know, in the first preseason game, right? But it's only one preseason game. I mean, he still has a lot left to prove, especially once when the real season starts. And we had to think about that. You know, that's when the real season starts. That's when people start paying attention to how you are. Right now, you know, you're just getting started. Now, hopefully he can avoid injury and whatnot, unlike our previous quarterback, because that's what did us in. So if he can stay healthy and not come down with mono or anything else like that, you know, I think he's going to be all right.
Oh, man.
I'm not selling him just yet, but maybe once we get the ball rolling 2 or 3 weeks in the season and he's holding up, providing us again 100, yes, I think he's going to do well.
And what about that run game?
Run game was great for preseason.
Yeah.
Well, those guys do a lot more.
Go ahead, John.
Before we let you go, man, I gotta ask, man. I watched Aaron Boone usually in his you know, post game press conferences, you know what I'm saying, he's real comfortable. But like what's the temperature really like from a fan standpoint, or like, you know what I'm saying, what the media around there is kind of saying? Is he on the hot seat? Because you know, the Yankees always feel like they should be in the World Series, and this is in jeopardy.
Maybe the pressure's off a little bit now since they're on this winning streak going on. So maybe I think cooler heads are prevailing. I mean, if they don't go to the playoffs, maybe they might come up again. But if they can get them, you know, like to the league championship, World Series League championship, I think maybe his position is going to be safe. We got to see what happens in these next few weeks.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, Lou, it's been a pleasure, my guy. You want to give your plug?
Yeah, the Enhanced Sports Show. We're still on the air. Saturdays, 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. Number to call is 512-543-4662. Number again, 512-543-4662. We're on 5 to 7 p.m. in the East. We'll cover the NFL, of course, week two of preseason. Still a lot of NBA trades going around with the free agent frenzy. We'll cover that. And our first week of college football predictions, since next Saturday is the start of the season, even though it's the quote-unquote cream puff schedule. I call it exhibition. You call what you want.
Exactly. Blue, it's been a pleasure, my guy.
Too.
Always glad to hear from you. And take care. We'll talk to you again. All right, that's Sweet Lou, our Northeast New York City correspondent, boots on the ground in the Northeast. John,
I'm glad he called in early, man. Unfortunately, man, sometimes he calls like after 7, and we can't get him on, man, because the phone lines be buzzing like that, man. But like, no, man, it's good to hear. You know what I'm saying? Definitely his baseball take, man. We've been lacking. Shame on me and you, right? We've been lacking in our baseball reporting. Just because basketball and football has been so crazy between, you know what I'm saying, trades and free agency, and how could we forget the saga that is the Colts and the saga that has been Aaron Rodgers, man. But, you know, it's always good to hear from Sweet Lou and the New York market for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. John, we're looking – let's dive in, I guess. Let's dive into the AFC. Let's go straight to the NFL. Preview, per se, and I want to hit the AFC East first. AFC, your defending division champ, the Buffalo Bills, running it back this year. Josh Allen signs that big contract. Stephon Diggs is back with his second season with Buffalo. They signed Emmanuel Sanders. They lost John Brown. McDermott got that big extension. He's in his fifth year now. Vegas has over under 10.5 wins for Buffalo. They were second in points scored, total points scored in 2020, and 16th in points allowed. John, looking at this Buffalo team, I like what they've got. I think they win the division again. This is a big year for Josh Allen. You know, you sign that contract, usually you see guys take a step back. I kind of like what Buffalo's got here. They start out week one at home against my Steelers, so my Steelers have a tough game in game one already. Right. But I do like what Buffalo's got here. I think I've seen different predictions as well, having them to 13-3 last year. But Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, and Zach Moss, the running attack. You got Diggs still there, as like I said, in his second season. I like this Buffalo team.
I like them to win the division. Tom Brady moved out. And there's still some uncertainty with the New England Patriots at quarterback. If there's a lot of weapons that Bill Belichick brought in, you know what I'm saying, at the tight end position and in on defense as well. But, again, he's got a rookie and he's got a former MVP that's kind of got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, depending upon, you know what I'm saying. We know Cam's been on the decline since the MVP season that he had with Carolina. But he's still very comfortable, still very capable quarterback, I should say. But we also have to remember, man, those are big shoes to fill. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of who's responsible for all the Super Bowls, was it Belichick, mine, and scheme, or was it Tom Brady's arm? You know what I'm saying? They're still big shoes to fill from the quarterback position. So again, I still kind of like them to finish kind of around second, you know what I'm saying, in that division, it possibly in terms of getting a wild card. But there's no reason why the Buffalo Bills shouldn't necessarily run away. They might split with New England. How about that? But there's no reason why they shouldn't necessarily run away with this division. Again, Miami will be stealing wins here and there, you know what I'm saying? But they shouldn't scare anybody named the Buffalo Bills, you know what I'm saying? And then, like you said, like Sweet Lou kind of alluded to, I was on Zach Wilson. I'm pretty high on Zach Wilson. The team just has to build. I think he deservedly was the number two. I think he should have been in the top five. The Jets just left him at number two. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to figure out. They don't have enough around him, not defensively, not offensively. They have pieces here and there, again, talent here and there, but to get, as a solid unit to try to get to the playoffs or anything like that, you know what I'm saying, that'd be pie in the sky. The Jets would be lucky to win five games. And I said, I'm not being honest, that's five. That's really like putting probably two games higher than they really should be. But if they win five games, it'd be a successful season for them. But you bring it up. Like, again, you tell even the backup, the Buffalo Bills acquired in free agency in Trubisky, in this case Josh Allen goes down for a game or a quarter or something like that. They can bring – he's confident enough. They just lost confidence in him. He's confident enough to win games. They just lost confidence as a whole in Chicago. I'm not saying you can go Super Bowl with Trubisky, but the stronger your team is from front to back, side to side, quarterback, wide out, running back, I'm saying the Buffalo Bills, you know, I'll be honest with you, Brandon, per health, considering health, they should be, you know what I'm saying, favorites to get to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, absolutely. With Trubisky in there as a backup for Josh Allen, say he goes down, can he manage? He gets a fresh start in Buffalo. I think McDermott in them, if he has to play, I think they center a offense that's better tailor-made than what Trubisky had with Matt Nagy there in Chicago, looking at them. So Buffalo, I do like, as I mentioned, I think obviously they win the division again. They go back to the playoffs. They've improved every year on their record. I mean, they've been in the playoffs three of the last 4 years. The only down year they have is 2018. They only had six wins that year. But 10 wins in 2019, 13 last year. Maybe a little regression this year, John, maybe 11 wins just because of a team where we're going to talk about second here with the New England Patriots. The Patriots coming back, loading up. An un-Patriot-like offseason, John. They had obviously the guys last year on defense and stuff that sat out. Bill Belichick and them went out. They went out and spent money on free agents, something that they haven't done in the past is go out and spend a lot of money on a free agent class. They picked up John A. Smith. They picked up Nelson Aguilar. They checked up Hunter Henry. Kyle Van Noy comes back. Jalen Mills from Philadelphia. Some of these guys, they went out and loaded and paid these guys to come back into New England. Cam Newton returns for another season. The word is that Cam's the guy at starter. Mac Jones looked great, John. I said he looks like a New England Patriot in that preseason game, leading them down the field. He looks comfortable. I think it's just a matter of time, but I think Cam understands that, and I think Cam was asked about it in the post game, and he's like, listen, I go out there and do my job. I'm here to support the Rook and to build him up. That's a different tile Cam Newton than what we've gotten in the past. I think with Belichick in his ear, I think Cam's kind of matured a little bit more. And we'll see. You know, Cam's either auditioned for a job. I would not be shocked if this is Cam Newton's last season in the league. It would not shock me. But Mac Jones looking good. New England Patriots loading back up, John. 7-9 last year with a depleted roster. I've got them at least for 10, 11 wins this year and maybe just finishing one game back of Buffalo for the division. That's where I think Buffalo's two wins from the 13. I think they fall back a little bit. I think New England at least gets them one time, if not the dreaded two times that they've got them in the past.
Yeah, it sounds like it's definitely Buffalo Bills to lose, and everybody else is kind of playing for second.
And they still haven't really went out and addressed the wide receiver corp. I mean, you've got Nelson Aguilar. You still got Keneal Harry, which Tom Brady was not big on Keneal Harry. And I watched the Patriots broadcast the other night, and they said, well, if Keneal Harry can just develop and be able to get that speed together with his athleticism on the field. Well, I think N'Keal Harry, and give me a second. This is his third year in the league. And if the guy hasn't shown it already, I don't think he's going to show it, John. And I think it's you can sit there and keep hoping, but at some point these guys don't show it. They're going to have to move on. So you got Harry there. That's why they went out and got Nelson Aguilar. They also huge pickup from the 49ers, getting Kendrick Bourne, wide receiver from the 49ers, bringing him over. I think it helps. Honestly, you got to look at this running game. Sony Michel is back. You've got Damian Harris is back. He's probably going to be the main starter. Sony Michel, David Harris, James White. James White's back after his parents both horrifically were both killed last year in a car accident, and he took out the rest of the season off. But James White's back as well. Brandon Bolden's still there. So the Patriots have the running game, I think. I think that's definitely going to help out Mac Jones there in the drop downs, and as well as kind of giving the pressure off of them. I hate to say it. I like New England. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the division. I honestly think they at least get 10, 11 wins back to the playoffs.
I think they're looking at a wild card. You know what I mean? Buffalo's got the most talent. Buffalo's got the better quarterback, solidified, you know, and everybody else is just kind of still I know the folks down in Miami don't want to hear that, you know what I'm saying, with Tua. But again, I didn't really see a whole heck of a lot of, you know what I'm saying, and I know, you know what I'm saying, either what you've been reported in training camp or either what you kind of saw in their preseason game. I know there's some more games to be played, but you haven't necessarily seen anything out of Miami as far as them moving the needle to challenge for this particular division. So again, I'm not saying I think they'll win. They'll pick up some wins here and there. But as far as them challenging Buffalo or even New England for that particular wild card spot, I just don't necessarily see.
Gotcha. I think, John, looking at this, the most roller coaster team that I like to say roller coaster wise in this division is the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins are coming into this year with a lot of unknowns. They're expected to play very well and do very well and keep improving, but also you don't know what you got. Tua comes back after an injury season. Dolphins were 10-6 last year. The running game is a little bit of flux. You've got Myles Gaskin in there coming back, but now you got Malcolm Brown, who came over from the Rams, who got some time already in the first preseason game more than Gaskin. So it's going to be like a three-headed monster with Brown, Gaskin, and Sylvain Ahmed in that backfield, Brian Flores said, which is out of the Bill Belichick tree. You know, you look at the Dolphins draft. They went out and got another Alabama guy, Jalen Waddle. Waddle's going to come in there now, play opposite of Devontae Parker and Will Fuller coming over from Houston. So they've got the pieces. I just think, John, I can see Miami playing well. I said last year that the breakout season would probably be this coming year for the Dolphins. But I just think I'm a little more nervous now with Tua of what we're going to get out of him. I just don't know what to expect. With this Dolphins team. They had 10 wins last year. I think they digress. I think maybe they get 9 or 8
right.
this year.
Right.
I'm not sure. I can't put a finger on this team.
Right. You got a pissed off cornerback, right, who doesn't want to be there,
yeah.
who I know they gave some money to or whatever. He's all pro too, right? So that's the thing. It's not that they don't have a seasoned and a capable backup in former coach Jacoby Brissett, but again, who are we throwing to? What we're looking like in the you know, I know who we're throwing to. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about Waddell, but like what other options do we have? You know what I'm saying? And
Will Fuller
like, good. I mean, we're talking about you got to beat the Buffalo. I mean, the Buffalo Bills. I'm telling you, man. I think the Bills. If the Bills somehow get up in, you know what I'm saying, in the win column, and Kansas City has to play them in Buffalo, you know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't necessarily – that's not what Kansas City wants. And I know,
right.
I know, spoiler alert, I'm saying Kansas City is still the team to beat because we haven't heard anything. I know we'll shift gears here in a little bit. We haven't heard anything bad outside of the issues with Coach Andy Reid's, you know what I'm saying, son, who's also a coach on the staff. We haven't heard anything too much bad, you know what I'm saying, at the turn of the new year. From that organization, we haven't heard anything about them being unvaccinated. We haven't heard anything about anybody being in and out of the lineup. We just heard, you know, I know they're pissed. They have to be coming up short, you know, in the Super Bowl. But again, I think the Buffalo Bills. I know we'll get to the North Division too, the AFC North, and then there's a couple squads over there that are probably chomping at the bit to try to play. Against, but again, Miami's not. I don't think Miami's in any of these teams' class. When you talk about, if you talk about, you know what I'm saying, who's trying to knock off the kings of the AFC? I don't think Miami's
great. Yeah, I forgot they also added DJ Fluker, Jason McCourty, a couple big names. One from Miami, the other one from the Ravens came over to Miami. Like I said, it's just tough to tell. I can sit there and say, hey, Dolphins go out and take. And you know what? Well, they've got the roster. That's kind of always fact. Or, hey, you know what? They go out, win 7-8 games, and flounder towards the end. Hey, you know what? We kind of seen that from Miami. It's just the unknown, blocking for Tua, and what kind of offense Tua runs. It's going to be really centered. You got, like you said, Jacoby Brissett back there. If things get a little hairy, Brissett will take over the reins if need be. So, as much as we don't know what we're going to get from them, I think the round out the division, John, I have them in last place in the AFC East. I think you probably do too, even though you're a little bit higher on them than I am. We talked with New York Jets, Zach Wilson, the quarterback of the future, I guess, depends on how they take care of him. If they can, they went out and addressed quite a bit offensively and defensively in the draft. I gave them a B+ for their draft. They got Zach Wilson at number 2 pick overall. They went out and got Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss. Ole Miss last year with the Lane train. Elijah Moore flourished there. And they went out and got an unknown. Well, I take that back. I'm sorry. He's not an unknown. An unknown how it's going to be in the NFL round. Michael Carter from North Carolina. I look at Michael Carter, John, and he's a 5'8", 200-pound guy. He kind of reminds me of a Maurice Jones-Drew. I don't know if he's going to have the skill set of a Maurice Jones-Drew from what he had, but that's kind of the body size, just like a bowling ball figure back there for the Jets. Problem is I don't know if they're going to be able to use them like they're going to want to in ball games if they're down and going to have to pass all the time.
Right, right. Again, they've got the crown. They got a diamond. What did Triple H call Randy Orton when he was part of Evolution? Call him a piece of coal. It's going to be the diamond one day.
Yeah.
I think Zach Wilson has the potential to be a diamond one day. And like I said, he'll take his lumps this year. If they win 5 games, I'll do a flip. and I ain't did a flip since I left, you know, all into high school back in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? But like, again, man, I like what they have right now. Just as far as winning division, anything like that, it's not in the cards this year.
Okay. Sorry, New York Jets fans. It's kind of what it's looking like. Let's move over, John, to the AFC North division. The Kings of the North, as well, I like to call them all. We've got I think this division has the opportunity to be similar to Buffalo, the AFC East division, if Miami was good. But I think it's going to be very – this is going to be a very top-heavy where I can see easily all three teams in the playoffs. And by what we're talking about with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. Diving in and looking at Baltimore, John, a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth after last season, what their expectations are from the year before to last year, going 11-5 and not having COVID and having COVID again to him possibly going to be getting a big contract deal. Didn't really add any extra new players in free agency this offseason. They did go out and get Rashad Bateman, a 6-foot wide receiver from Minnesota, to that team. But overall, they're kind of bringing back their pieces. They lost Orlando Brown, which is crazy to me still that they traded their best offensive tackle. I know he was disgruntled, but they traded him to a team that's better than them and that has a weakness at offensive tackle in Kansas City, which didn't make sense. So Orlando Brown's in Kansas City. Mark Ingram left. He's in Houston now. Willie Snead's gone. He's out in Vegas. I'm not sure. They added Sammy Watkins. I don't know if I'd call that a key player or not. But, man, John, Baltimore, kind of an unknown as well.
Like you just said, Brandon, like they're good because they're coached well. They have a star quarterback who is looking for some money somewhere in between what Patty Mahomes got, which I know he won't get anywhere near that stratosphere, and somewhere where Josh Allen got, and he has a hard piece of hardware that says he's a little bit better than Josh Allen, but even though his passing stats don't say so, you know what I mean? I'm hoping Lamar and the team kind of come to an accord sometime, you know what I'm saying, even before, or either before season starts or right after the season, you know what I'm saying? So that can kind of not be the subject matter going into further into the season, you know what I'm saying? But when you say, like, they have shedded contracts, right? They shedded contracts to try to free up money for him so they can pay him long-term and make him their quarterback of the future. I just don't think – I think there's some apprehension in the back of their minds. You know what I'm saying?
How much has he hurt?
How much has he improved since that
– No. How much on this next deal does Lamar Jackson deserve? I'm going to give you a stat real quick. He's 30 wins and 7 losses as a regular season starter, and he's 1-3 in the postseason.
I know, man. You know me. If you roll into our tape from last year, man, I said, dude, if that dude can find a way to not throw an interception in a big game, they would get to the Super Bowl. But again, I'm not saying he's one-dimensional. Obviously, he's not. He can throw the ball. His accuracy is the big thing that's in question here. And now, because now, and like you pointed out, a lot of the, you know, saying the left tackle gone, this guy gone, this defensive player absorbed by this team, a lot of those key pieces are missing because of him. So can he be that type of player that can carry a team with less talent? That remains to be seen. I think the Ravens are good, but now we're talking about the division has gotten better. The Cleveland Browns is one play away from going to the Super Bowl. They probably still lose the Super Bowl, you know what I mean, against Tampa Tom and the Buccaneers, but they're one play or even two plays away from going to the Super Bowl, man. That has to be still in their warehouse. And they also have a quarterback that's in somewhat of a contract negotiation, and he's not disgruntled. He's self-charged disgruntled, right, on the field because people said he couldn't play. They've been saying he couldn't play since he left college. Right, but they have a great team. They can have a great offensive team, and they have a little bit of diva, right, at wideout that they have to figure out how they're going to bring him into the fold. Because, like I said, this team is on the cusp of getting back to the AFC Championship game. The Cleveland Browns, I know. Can you believe it, Brandon? You know what I'm saying? they're on the cusp of trying to potentially get back to the AFC Championship game, and you know what I'm saying, and potentially get into the Super Bowl. I think them and, again, Cincinnati's going to be better. They're going to be, you know what I'm saying, a little bit better because, again, their quarterback's coming off injury. But you saw the you know what I'm saying, potential what he could bring as well with the Bengals. They just don't have, you know what I'm saying, they don't have a whole lot around him. You know what I'm saying? But they are scary. They can't put up points. You know what I'm saying? They are scary. So they will grab wins. They will steal wins in the division and outside of the division. You know what I'm saying? If you split with, I wouldn't be surprised Cincinnati splits with at least two of the top teams in the division. You know what I mean? And then, like I said, we go to your, you know what I'm saying, Pittsburgh Steelers, who's near and dear to your heart. They ain't ready to just roll over and die. Think about it, Brandon. And I know you got better stats than me on this. They went, I do believe, 11-0 last year, and then Ben got hurt, and then it was more than just Ben that came back flat. The whole team,
the running
was
game
flat.
Was gone. No running game.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, even the defense, we can put the defense too in there. I think a lot of times quarterbacks get a lot of the, we know that old adage, quarterbacks get a lot of the praise, and they also, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the, you know what I'm saying, the baggage when things don't go right either. They were 11-0, you know what I'm saying, going into the playoff. I mean, going in, you know what I'm saying, before Ben got hurt. And they tried to, you know what I'm saying, weather the storm with Mason Rudolph. And, you know what I'm saying, that was, you know what I'm saying, you know, that was in, right? You know, for better luck term, that was in. But I think they've improved the roster in the draft. And even with the kid they brought over from Washington, the kid just played for Ohio State. Help me out with the name. But, again, he's looked better. He's looked better and more professional and ready to play. I think it's in his wheelhouse that, you know what I'm saying, this is, you know, playing for Washington, playing for Pittsburgh is two different types of professionalism. It just is. And I know Ron Rivera is trying to change culture over in Washington, but the culture of winning is in Pittsburgh as far as, you know, I'm telling you, you know what I'm saying, historically, it just is. So, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a better team. I can't necessarily just say right now today they can potentially they're the clear cut favorite to win a division. I just know they ain't getting ready to just roll over and die. You know what I'm saying? So when I look at Pittsburgh and what they have brought, you know what I'm saying, either, you know what I'm saying, either, I know they lost. You said, well, this guy retired on them, and this guy, you know what I'm saying, whatever they had, there was really a plan. Hell, my guy even, help me out, Brandon, what was his name? He even took a pay cut, the wideout. Did he not? Or the running back?
Juju Smith,
the running back.
Yes.
Juju took a pay cut to come back. So, and that's kind of unheard of in football. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're the quarterback and they kind of extend your out. But, you know, if it's a wide out, they can get – it's a pass happy lead. There's people ready to throw to him. So, you know what I'm saying? In a nutshell, the top two teams is probably still the Ravens and Pittsburgh. I can't say the Ravens. Top two teams is probably still Cleveland and Pittsburgh. But, again, the Ravens play hard enough and good enough that they'll put a lot of those things in doubt. But I still think the division still comes down to Cleveland being the favorite and then Pittsburgh second and then Baltimore third.
Yeah, you kind of hit all of it. I'm going to dive right in real quick to the Cleveland. You kind of went through it all. I'm going to try to go team by team here. Cleveland. I've got the Cleveland Browns, John. I think they're going to win the division. Last time the Cleveland Browns won the division was 1989. That's the oldest team. That's the oldest right now in the AFC, the last time to win a division, the Browns in 1989. Then to give you a little bit of an idea there, some knowledge, the Raiders and the Jets both won in 2002. So since 1989 to 2002, it's been a long time between second and third place teams. So I think the Browns win the division this year, John. I really do. They've got the full team, offense, defense. Mm-hmm. They added a Jadeveon Clowney on defense. What's left of him, we'll see. But they got him on a real nice deal coming back in. They got Malik Jackson from Philadelphia coming in there. Obviously, they got Baker back another season, his third year. Baker's probably needs to improve, continue to improve. He had a great season last year, and it was a hell of a lot easier with him with that run game of Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. The 1-2 punch. I think Chubb has another great, great breakout performance season. The only way I see the Browns suffering here is if somehow Chubb gets hurt running back wise and they have to alter some of their plans there. I think that'd be the only way I see them. Wide receivers wise, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry are still your main two guys there. Odell Kind of just shut up and played football last year, if you think about it. And then he got hurt, and then they played better with him. So maybe with Odell not around, Cleveland played better. Maybe that's something you need to look forward to, maybe a trade. Browns went 11-5 last year. They've got a decent schedule this year. They've got a tough one out of the gates to go into Kansas City for week one. So it's a rematch of the AFC Championship game last year. Kansas City on September 12th at 4:30 on CBS. That'll be interesting to see. Then they got Houston and Chicago. So I kind of like what it's going to be tuning up to there. But I like Cleveland to win the division this year and make some noise in the AFC playoffs once again. I do like the Brownies. Wise, John, just off of talent, I'm going to go Pittsburgh, I guess. Overall, I like the Steelers overall. Trying to be neutral with this, and it's going to be hard as hell for me. But I like the overall makeup of the offense and the defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers than I do the Baltimore Ravens offense and defense together. Offensively, I think Lamar Jackson is explosive enough to where he can easily carry Baltimore to 10 wins, maybe 11 wins this year. But I think, John, it's going to be Steelers 10 wins, 9 wins, and then him and Baltimore flip-flop them. I think you kind of said it without saying it, that you can see Baltimore and Pittsburgh flip-flopping. One of them is one game ahead of the other one at the end of the season. I think that's kind of where they sit. Second and third, easily you could put either of these two teams. I know it's easy to say, well, hey, dumbass, there's only two teams you can choose from there. But, yes, I can see Pittsburgh finishing second. I can see Baltimore finishing second. I just know I personally don't have high hopes in my Steelers this year until I start seeing some more offensive rhythm. Matt Canada comes in as the new offensive coordinator. Randy Fichter is gone. Are we going to quit the chuck down stuff? Ben's coming in leaner. He's coming in healthier. They've got a little bit of a run game now with Najee Harris, a first-round draft pick out of Alabama, coming in. You got Juju Stare, Deontay Johnson, and Chick Claypool, still your outside guys. Tight end-wise, you still have Eric Ebron in there, which is not sexy enough for me. But you got Pat Freiermuth coming in from Penn State as a rookie tight end. I'm sure he'll get some play as Jesse James did back in the middle of 2010s. They added Kalen Ballage, came in to help out that run game from the Chargers. I think that's a nice addition. Obviously, losing James Conner, it was business. You had to get rid of him. Defensively, Devin Bush is back for Pittsburgh. I think that's a huge asset to add on the defensive end. You lose Bud Dupree. That hurts. Bud coming off that ACL injury. But then you go out and you get Mike Hilton. You lost Mike Hilton to the Bengals in the division, so you lose a cornerback there. You gain Melvin Ingram, which I think is going to be huge. T.J. Watt's still out there in that secondary, as long as he signs his freaking contract. Still hasn't signed the contract yet. But and then the Steelers just went out and got Schobert from the Jaguars in a trade, which is interesting because they were able to move their offensive line money around for Steven Tuitt. And I don't think they're done yet, John. I think the Steelers will still make another trade somewhere because they are sitting $20 million below the cap now left. So makes me think they're going to go out and sign somebody big or make some kind of big trade before the season starts, possibly, because they got $20 million in cap, which is interesting. I know they could be saving it for a T.J. Watt deal, but that's not going to really strike them this year. And usually the Steelers like to use all the money they can in the season and don't go into the luxury tax. I am concerned with the offensive line. It goes without saying, you lose Marquise Pouncey. You lost Villanueva as your left tackle. You lost Matt Feeler, another offensive lineman. That's three offensive linemen you lost right there with a quarterback that was already coming back a little gun shy with an elbow surgery. So I am nervous what this offensive line can do. Do they have the pieces to win the division? Absolutely. Do I think they will? Probably not. But, it can't go as good and bad as it did last year. 11-0 to start, and then you win one of your final five games at the end of the season, and it's against the Colts. And you really shouldn't have won that game, but the comeback you had. But we'll see. Pittsburgh, not a lot of hope in it this year. Like I told you, I told you after last season, I expect 7-8 wins. I think they're over 500 for sure because Mike Tomlin and this team is way too good for that, way too good to be below 500. I think they're at least above 500 again at 9 wins, maybe 10, and
for sure.
Hopefully battling for another wild card spot.
For sure. I think we lined up pretty good.
And I do love the punter. I hope he gets the job. Presley Harvin III, 5'11", 260, black punter. Tell me the last time you heard a 260 black punter. He was just dropping bombs in the games. And then last, John, I have Cincinnati. Just a very, very young team. Joe Burrow coming back from injury. I don't know what to expect with this team. They had Ricardo Allen. Eli Apple came over. Mike Hilton, like I said, from the Steelers. Riley Reiff, an offensive flat tackle, which is good for them, from Minnesota. But they lost some of their defensive guys. Offensive as well. John Ross they lost. Gio Bernard. Geno Atkins. Got Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. I think that's huge. You're going to put Ja'Marr Chase in there with Joe Burrow, the LSU connection. See what they can do together. They had 4 wins last year. 2 wins the year before that and 6 before that. I think you're looking at 6 wins around this year for Cincinnati is what I got them at.
If they can, it's going to be a black and blue division. So 6 wins, 7 wins out of 17, that sounds about right because, again, they can't score. Joe Burrow can put up the ball and he can air it out with anybody so long as that offensive line can protect him. So, and you know, saying the name of this game in the NFL is scoring, right? It's pass happy and it's scoring. So, I wouldn't be too gun shy when you say six. I could even say 7 wins, but I wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't extend it over that.
Yep, absolutely. Looking ahead, AFC South, the South Division. Let's go local. Our Indianapolis Colts, John. The Colts. You know, is Wentz going to be back in time for Week 1? I think it's trending that way. He's going to start doing some more reps next week. And you only get 3 preseason games this year for those teams. But he's starting to get some reps. I think it's also at the point where if you're Indianapolis, you got to give Jake and Eason more reps and quit doing this split thing. I know it's cute. You give Sam Ellinger some reps in the first two. You got to start now establishing somebody that's going to be your starter possibly for Week 1 if Wentz doesn't come out and play. Ursay says they're not going to rush him back, so maybe he's back Week 2. Week 3, if I'm the Colts, I don't think I bring him back until at least Week 3, John. I really don't.
Right.
I think you rest him at home against Seattle. That's already going to be a tough game with him anyways. I think you rest him against the Rams. That's going to be even another tough game. The next week, you're at a division. You're at Tennessee. I think that's a great opportunity there for Wentz to come back in Week 3 in Tennessee. To see what he's got. You're not rushing it back. You're giving that injury 2 more weeks to heal. I've got the Colts. I had them pre-injury to win the division. After the injury now, John, I think it's going to be a battle between them and Tennessee. I'm going to give the slight edge to the Titans to win the division.
That's not too crazy to say. And, you know, a lot of times when folks hear me talk about analytically about the Colts, they want me to automatically put my fandom on it. And again, you know, saying I can't. Peyton Manning, the elite level quarterback play that we've had, that we've been privy to, whether it's Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck, not what we have right now. What we do have is very competent quarterback room where I don't necessarily know, Carson Wentz, you know, saying 2-3 seasons ago in Philadelphia, put up MVP like numbers. Again, that was 2-3 seasons ago. When I watched Eason and I watched Ellinger play. If this was just a normal year where we didn't have a money ball, a big name player kind of in the quarterback room, those two guys could probably, for sure, you know what I'm saying, they would probably split. And I think that's why Frank is kind of, the coach staff is kind of going that way. They don't necessarily, Carson Wentz is an unknown, and you tack that on with what Jim Irsay said, we want you back at 100%. So knowing that, you look at it that game by game, not necessarily from the whole season, right? At some point, we do know Carson Wentz will be back. When I look at the play of Eason and I look at the play of Elegant, though, back to them, they look like they can play quarterback. I think there would be a lot of teams they would want them, you know what I'm saying, to have that type of this type of issue where, well, damn, which one guy, which one guy, there's really no, be honest with you, Brandon, there's really no clear cut guy. Other than the fact that Easton has played in the NFL longer, or he's been around in the NFL process or longer, neither one of them has really necessarily played. You know what I'm saying?
I think his arm's better.
They both make mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Easton's arm is better, but who's got the mobility? Right? That would be Ellinger. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That you know what I'm saying? He's got the better feet. But again, you're talking about basically two essentially rookies. You know what I mean? 17 game season though, you can't just play rotating quarterback. This ain't Florida. This ain't, you know what I'm saying, this ain't Spurrier's Florida, or even Spurrier when he was with Washington. You know what I'm saying, when he was, you know, he was playing anybody at quarterback. But like I said, I think that's what they're, I think that's what the Colts are doing when they assess their quarterback talent. But because again, there's nobody, you know what I'm saying, it's not like it's like. If Easton is if he's hitting triples, then dang on Ellinger's is right there, it's right there behind him. You know what I'm saying, getting on base. You know what I'm saying, either in the field or, you know what I'm saying, at least, you know what I'm saying, we're sacrificing somebody to get to the, you know what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? The talent level is there. You can see it.
Right.
They just don't have the seasoning. You know what I'm saying? They just don't necessarily have the seasoning. But if you know what I'm saying, gun the head, twist my arm about it, of course, I think Easton is the guy, because like you said, he's the guy that has a better arm, and you know what I'm saying, getting it down the field. And I think that's fair. I can't really assess Carson Wentz, and it's going to be hard because, you know what I'm saying, again, man, we've been spoiled for so long with dealing with elite-level quarterback play where they were aligned up with the offensive linemen, and they knew, you know what I'm saying, they were working, you know what I'm saying, and constantly getting in into sync with the wideouts and the receiving core and the tight ends and whatnot. And I still think our running game was, I think our running game should be one of the best running games in the league statistically this year. Should be. You know what I'm saying? I have faith in that, so long as everybody's 100%. But again, I just think they're assessing, you know what I'm saying, what they have right now, what they know, dealing with the known, and that's necessarily dealing with the unknown, the unknown being Carson Wentz.
Okay. We've got our residential number one Colts fan on the line here. Decon, what's going on?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Guys, how's it going today?
Good, good, good. How are you? I'm probably, Reggie's going to be pissed from me saying that, but I owed him one.
I thought he was on. I was like, okay. Must not be me. Hey, I want to touch base. I know you all are hitting the AFC, and a couple of points hit me, man, and I was like, man, I got to call in. I wasn't going to call in until a little bit later. But two teams I want to hit. I want to hit the Steelers first, right? And I understand there's a potential bias that's involved here, but one of the things I think about is this, right? You know, we talked about the Steelers got the cap room. $20 million bucks is not that much. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, they got to sign my boy Micah Fitzpatrick. He's due up. Hayden wants a new deal. And then you got Watt. So
yep.
You got three stars, $20 million. You need more. Then you got probably the one-third of an offensive line that you've got to do something about. If you think the stud, and I say it again, stud from Bama, my man is going to run for 1,500 yards behind that line, it ain't going to happen. You know, Najee is going to struggle out the gate because I think that the Steelers' offensive line is probably one of the worst since I've seen in the Indianapolis Colts 5 years ago. That's what I believe, right?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's not good. I was the first to say that. It's not a good offensive line.
Yeah,
they didn't do anything to improve it.
Exactly. Actually, they. I don't even know if they stood pat. I think they got worse. And here's why they got worse. You've got an immobile 50-plus year quarterback back there now. Not Big Ben when he was 5 years in, you know. And I think this is his swan song. I think in all the reports I see that the talk would talk to Tomlin. Hey, this is it. Hey, what do you think about Ben in the future? All the talk is, let's just talk about right now. Because I think this is his last year. This is his swan song. And I think that's a big deal. Because, you know, probably the best organization in NFL football. But I think when you've got stars that do up contract-wise, you got to line. You've got a quarterback who's in his last year of a deal, who's had some ups and downs over the last 3 or 4 years. I think that's a recipe for 8-8. As an 8-8 season, I think last year was an anomaly with an 11-0 start. But I just don't see that happening with the teams in the AFC North getting better. And granted, Baltimore didn't get as better as we would thought, especially when they lost the linemen. But you still got a better quarterback. You got a better, in my opinion, a better defense, a better offensive line, and a running game that you know about. I think Najee, you don't know about that, so I think Najee is going to be great. I just don't know that he'll be great this year based off stuff that I've had. I want to throw that out there to you guys and see if I'm sounding like I'm crazy or if I'm making sense. I think I'm making some sense there, but you never know.
No, I think and sorry, we could hear you. It was cutting out. Your service was a little spotty, but we heard the majority of everything you were saying. So, but
yeah, I'm at an undisclosed location.
It sounds like it.
Oh, wow.
I will say, yes, you are completely right. This offensive line digressed. They lost Villanueva, but went to Baltimore, but he might even be getting cut is what I'm seeing from Baltimore. So he might even make it. But, yeah, Najee, and you've got Ben. Last year the run game was nowhere to be found in the end of the season, and the offensive line was to blame for that, and yet this offseason you didn't do anything to improve it. So, yeah, are they going to struggle this year? That's why it was my main concern of them finishing second, why I had them either second or third if they could find some help in that offensive line. I think Ben's going to stay healthy this year. I think they're, with this new offensive coordinator, they're going to change a little bit of their offensive philosophy. I think they're going to work on getting Najee out more, out to catch passes, out in the flats, and help with that run game. They're still doing, as we've seen in two preseason games, the end arounds with Chase Claypool and Juju and Deontay Johnson. But is it going to be a struggle year? Absolutely. I think it is. Is it Ben's last year? Who knows? Possibly. And we'll see. I could say suck, instead of suck for luck, I think they should suck and maybe look, try to – and anyway, it's not the Pittsburgh Steelers way, but I would suck and go for Sam Howell from UNC if they could for next season. But, yeah, you're not going to get anything from Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin always will be focused on what's in the present.
Yeah.
He doesn't worry about the future. He says that every press conference, it seems like.
Right. And so then I want to switch gears really quick. You talk about the Colts, right? And I want to hit those guys again. I'm not a Colts hater. I just don't believe in them. So think about this. You got unknowns at all your receiving spots, including your tight end, right? Then you've got your quarterback, who came off one of the worst years he's had. Granted, now he has an injury. Yeah, you got two young guys who look decent in the preseason. But let's not get too excited, Jonathan. It was still preseason. It's still preseason. So let's not pump your brakes on Ellinger to the Hall of Fame. Pump your brakes on this guy. So let's slow down. So I want to hit you again. Here's another thing to think about. You know, the last 3 years, the greatest, you know, offensive line, top three offensive line. Man, you got Crimson Tide Ryan Kelly who's been in and out. You've got Quentin Nelson who's out right now. And you don't know who your left tackle is. The left side of your offensive line looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers left side of the offensive line right now.
Well, they've got their offensive tackle. They've got Eric Fisher. He's coming back from the Achilles. And Marlon Mack, they did the same recovery for Marlon Mack, and he's looking great out there, they're saying.
Yeah, but here, Marlon Mack is not putting his body on 300-pound guys, moving them out the way.
Right.
I just don't believe in the left side of the Colts offensive line right now. We'll see what happens, right? And I understand that Fisher, was a number one pick, and he came off of an Achilles injury. With the problems that Kansas City had in the Super Bowl last year, why weren't they patient enough to stay with him? That's what makes me think about that. And I don't know the answer. But I would say that I think that's part of it is I don't think he can play as well as he's being touted to play. I think he's going to be just, you know, mediocre at best at this stage of his career and coming off of an Achilles injury. So I say the Colts, I don't say 8-8 because we got 17 games. I say 9 wins for the Colts. Maybe 10, maybe with some things happening that way. But I think capped out at 10, and let's see what happens.
John, all you.
I think 2 weeks ago I said 7 wins. That was before I saw the quarterback play. Some of the guys that are out will come back. This is the best. I won't say best because, again, somebody's going to be like, well, what about us? But this is the top 5 offensive and defensive line. Again, the offensive line don't score points, not just the defensive line. But, they will get protection. They will get penetration, you know what I'm saying, when they need it. You know what I mean? The running game will be, like I said, will be fine. You can say there's some unknowns, you know what I mean? But, again, T.Y. Hill's not necessarily getting ready to retire. He's gonna come with it, and I know that's just street terminology. I think because last year it took him and Phillip Rivers, it took them, you know what I'm saying, 7 years or 7 weeks to get the connectivity going. But again, I think these quarterbacks know, you know, and not necessarily quarterbacks, the play caller knows that. He has to use everything that at his resources. You know what I'm saying? That whether it's Mo Alley Cox or even the kid from Cathedral. I can't think of his name right now. The tight end from Cathedral.
Jack Doyle.
But like no, yeah, yeah. But like no, man. I again, you know what I'm saying? Could we storm? Is Tennessee still better than us? You know what I'm saying? Top to bottom. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have so many unknowns, even though they too have some departures. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't have, you know what I'm saying? They still got a workhorse at running back. They still got a pretty comparable quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He knows how to win games. Quarterbacks still know how to win games. Tennessee, like I said, I would favor Tennessee. But then that still just leaves the Jacksonville Jaguars and potentially the Texans, who ain't going to win a game this year, for the Colts to basically kind of just, you know what I'm saying, get games off of. So if the Colts, you never know, Dekai and Brandon, you never know what the wild card is going to kind of bring this particular year. 17 games, a sub 500 team might, meaning, you know, say 8-9, might get into a wild card situation, especially with a lot of these top heavy teams that might just go in and annihilate you. You know what I'm saying? What's his name? Patty Mahomes, and then this was in July, mind you. Patty Mahomes was talking about going 17-0. If they go 17-0, that means somebody's definitely going to be 0-17. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe 1-16 or 1-16. You might have two teams that's 1-16. Because, again, as much as I think that Jacksonville has a bright future with their quarterback play and some of the other pieces that they have built, they still just maybe just be like a 2 or 3-win team. I was kind of on the Urban Meyer train. And, like, I don't think he gets it now. I mean, as I'm going further, as I've learned more and more stuff, had things that kind of come out of his training camp, I don't necessarily think – I don't question his play calling or his football, like his football mind. I just don't – his preparedness, like how he got this team prepared going into the season. That is what I kind of question. So there's potential that from a win-loss standpoint, they could regress. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how you regress worse than having the number one pick, but – you could go winless, right? So, again, I don't want – the NFL probably don't want two teams go winless in the same conference, right? But that potential could happen. And if that's the case, then, you know what I'm saying, teams like the Colts, quote-unquote weak teams, teams like the Colts, teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, even teams that, you know what I'm saying, question marks like the Ravens, they might end up being 8-9 teams and somehow because of the mathematics, they might sneak their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, we lost connection, but he said he's going to catch up next week. He's going to listen to the rest of the show. So, sounds good. Yeah, we'll see what Urban and them have. I thought Trevor Lawrence looked all right out there. Obviously, they cut your boy Tebow. Put him on the show first take with Stephen A. Now that Max will be leaving, I think that'll be.
Wow.
I'll be writing.
Yeah, people will get people to watch.
Hey, real quick, before we go to the AFC West, it's been reported now that according to the Washington football team, the team is down to 3 finalists for its new name. The 3 finalists come from a list of 8. So there was 8 candidates. It's going to be down to 3 names. The other finalists. They haven't named who the finalists are, but they gave us the 8 candidates. I'm going to give you these names and you tell me which of the 3 you like the most and which one you prefer. The Washington Armada.
Oh, wow.
The Washington Brigade. The Washington Commanders. The Washington Defenders. The Washington Presidents. The Washington Red Hogs.
No.
The Washington Red Wolves. And the Washington Football Team. I keep the football team.
I like the Presidents, man. I like
the Washington Presidents.
Yeah, cause I've had to rank them Presidents first, Commanders second. Armada ain't that bad, but those would be my top three. But the Presidents would be number one.
You don't like the Red Hogs?
No, not at all, man. No
oh,
Red Hogs.
Oh, you know that's going to piss off everybody that wears those hog masks in there all the
time.
It'll
probably be the Red Hogs, too. Now that I don't like it, it probably will be.
Right. Probably. AFC West, John, Kansas City Chiefs, 14-2. Back-to-back Super Bowl champions 2 years ago. I don't think there's any reason to believe that they won't division this year. They got all their pieces back. They addressed the offensive tackle position, I said, with Orlando Brown coming over from Baltimore in trade. They added Kyle Long, who was retired, brought him back. Howie's son, so he's back in as an offensive guard. They lost Fisher, Damian Williams, and Sammy Watkins from this team, but you still got a very good team out here. Travis Kelce, still the beast that he is. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams as your running backs. I have no fault to see the Kansas City Chiefs, and I see nothing really stepping in their way of going back to the Super Bowl again this year. I really don't.
Yeah, but like I said, barring an injury, you know what I'm saying? Because they are, you know what I'm saying, a unique team that's offensively gifted, right? That's how their team, I mean, they can get down 10 points, 11 points, 12, 14, two touchdowns, basically, they still come back, right? But they have to be upset, if not pissed, due to the Super Bowl results. I think they'd be on a mission. Again, like I said, Patty Mahomes a month ago was talking about going 17-0. I don't think that's feasible. I think if a team even gets close where they're like 15-0, I think the front office would probably shut all the starters down. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
I really do. But there's no reason why they're back and reloaded. And I would assume that they are highly pissed and motivated in getting back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. I think AFC West, John, number two team, you could either go either way with this team, these two teams, but I've got the Chargers over the Raiders this year. I think we see a improvement again from Justin Herbert this season. Went 7-9 last year. They picked up Rashad Slater, offensive tackle from Northwestern this year. They got Keenan Williams still, Tyron Williams, Mike Williams as your Austin Eckler is back again, Justin Jackson as the number two wide running back there. For some reason, I love this Chargers team. I think they're improved this year. I think they go out there. I think they shock some more people. I really do. Brandon Staley is their new head coach. Old boy got out. They got rid of Anthony, give me his name, John.
Lynn.
Damn it. Anthony Lynn, yeah. Lynn's gone. You got to believe this Chargers offense is going to be rampant. Big things out of there. I think I got them finishing second in the division, and they may even win at home. They may win their home game against the Chiefs this year. I think they could even knock them off.
Nah, they'll get some wins, but they beat the Chiefs, man. You brought up a lot of great points. You stole some of my thunder there.
They beat them at Kansas City last year.
I get that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, this year, you know what I'm saying, we're going to have more fan engagement. I'm not necessarily a believer that fans determine the games and whatnot. Teams do get more hyped up when they're down, when their fans are cheering for them or whatnot. So there's going to be that. There's going to be that type of talk or whatever, you know what I'm saying? He did that because the quarterback from San Diego, damn it, Brandon.
Damn.
The quarterback from Los Angeles.
Sorry, LA.
He didn't experience all that last year. a crowd, you know what I'm saying, that, you know what I'm saying, on the road crowd or whatever. So it'll be something. Again, it's not like he's never played, you know what I'm saying, an away game. You know what I'm saying, in front of a – he played in the Pac-12, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? They had away games, you know what I mean? But so like, no, man, there's no reason why. They are ahead of schedule. They didn't suck, you know what I'm saying? He didn't come out with a whole lot of quarterback, you know what I'm saying, rookie jitters last year. There was some – I mean, I was one of his – I think I was a doubter. If you run back anything that I said about him, Herbert, I was a doubter because I thought he was a little slow. And that wasn't the case, you know what I mean? So they have improved the team and brought in weapons, brought in, you know what I mean? And like I said, they brought in a more offensively minded to this era type of coach. So, again, you know what I'm saying, there's no reason why you shouldn't like the L.A. Chargers.
Absolutely. Another team in there just be barking up the Chargers' door to try to knock down the door for the playoffs. The Las Vegas Raiders coming back this year. Chucky, they went 8-8 last season. They dropped three of their final four games of the year. They had a better front of the season. I think they were 6-3 to start the season in their first nine games, and then it kind of fell off. Yeah. Derek Carr's back again. Then you've got your running game with Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, obviously, their bell course running back there. Wide receivers-wise, Henry Ruggs, John Brown, who's in this year from Buffalo, and Zay Jones. But I think, John, they got the number three tight end in the league. I really do. Behind Kelsey and Kittle, the two Ks, you can't have a third K in there. It'd be a little strange having to – I don't want to say it without saying it. So you got to have somebody else in there. But I do believe Darren Waller is the third best tight end in the league. I think I've heard nothing but awesome reports. Who? Did you say who?
I said woo, like Ric Flair.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Darren Waller, huge, huge upcoming season for Waller. I think it's a breakout year for him. He's already ranked top in the top four for tight ends. I think he even stands up there as the number three tight end behind Kittle and Kelsey. This kid is that good, that athletic. 6'6", 255, fourth year, breakout season. I do like him this year. Do I think they're going to be good enough to go to the playoffs? It's going to be tough. There's just too much in the AFC South and the AFC North and the East in front of them. They might even, you know, being the third team in the AFC West, there's just no way I see three teams in the AFC West going to the playoffs.
Do they even believe – meaning the coach, and I know, Brandon, I almost think that he might be on the hot seat after if they don't get in front of it and they get behind it. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to be that again. That's going to be hard for them. They don't believe in their quarterback. So like the last three seasons, the last couple of years we've been doing that I've been affiliated with Crossroads Sports, right? They've been trying to get rid of their quarterback, David Carr.
Right.
I think this might be the last where you know what I'm saying. I know, you know what I'm saying, the upper brass played John Gruden $100 million to come and to bring a different culture, bring a winning culture, try to establish a different winning culture. But they have the pieces. You said a lot of things, great positive things about their ancillary parts that they have. I still question their quarterback. I don't question his toughness. I think that would be unfair for me to say. You know what I'm saying? I know my locker room guys, that's a chatter. They went along, you know what I'm saying, through the course of their season. They questioned his toughness, right, mental toughness, whatever that means. I'm not saying guys playing with concussions or broken arms or anything, but they, you know what I'm saying, a lot of locker room chatter came out of that locker room, that Vegas Raiders locker room about his toughness, man. But I also question, you know what I'm saying, John Gruden. You know what I'm saying, where's the barbershop talk? John Gruden won with Tony Dungy's team in Tampa Bay. And you know what I'm saying, so forth. So it's not necessarily he hasn't had any success, but he hasn't had any, you know what I'm saying, long term deep playoff run success, and that's what's kind of missing. So I think the market, you know what I'm saying, the magnifying glass is on John Gruden, and they got a challenge. Again, they don't have enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But if they don't challenge, if they don't look like they can't challenge at least the Las Vegas Chargers, man, you know, There might be. It won't be a Black Monday, you know, mid season Black Monday for John Gruden, but there'll be a Black Monday after the season. That's what I think.
Mm. Go back in the broadcast booth. Get him back in.
Sure.
Real quick, last thing I have, and then we'll take one call and then go to an ad read.
Okay.
The last team in the AFC West, I think, had the chance to possibly be the first or second in the AFC West, people were saying, and now they're going to be last since they didn't get Aaron Rodgers, is the Denver Broncos. I think there's so much big question at quarterback. Is it Teddy Bridgewater? Is it Drew Locke? I don't think they have an offensive identity. I don't think Vic Fangio is the answer there in Denver.
No.
It's going to be a lost year for the Denver Broncos, and I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Right. Before we take on the call, man, great defense, the pieces they still have. But, you know what I'm saying, defense wins championships, but you got to win a game. You got to win some games before you win a championship, and that's where the offense comes in. Again, I don't know where the offense is going to come from with the Denver Broncos, especially when they're one of the teams that's kind of went to sleep on, you know what I'm saying, getting one of these top five quarterbacks or even breaking a deal to try to go get it, that deal, whatever that deal fell through, to get Aaron Rodgers. So what was your plan B? You didn't even try to go get anybody. So I know we're not talking about NFC today, but we'll talk about NFC at some point in the near future. But my goodness, your scouts have to know more than the TV people, even more so than me and Brandon Reed, that Justin Fields is a quarterback that can play in the NFL. They, you know what I'm saying? There's going to be a lot of teams. I think Denver Broncos is one of them that went to sleep on that.
Okay, perfect. Take our call. Reggie Sykes, what's going on?
What's up, brothers? What's up, my brothers? How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
You can't control this.
I'm good, man. I apologize, Brandon, for not calling you, inviting you to play golf, man. That was my slip up. I played with Ted and Rob, and I really jacked that up, and I apologize, my brother. Next time, I got you, okay?
I hear you. I'm glad we're on good terms still. That's 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit bad terms with Bird, son. I guess he didn't eat the Snicker bar that I gave him.
I didn't say nothing bad about the coach today.
I mean, I remember you saying that you were a little leery of Justin Fields. Because I think I told you I wish the coach could have dropped down and got him before we got Carson Wentz. But I'm going to have to go back and check my memory bank, maybe listen to a couple of old shows. I thought you had some question marks about.
Yeah, I don't think I said that, man. I don't think we had the capital enough to go get Justin Fields.
No, we definitely didn't. But I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to get excited about one preseason game. Just like I'm not getting excited about the Colts backup quarterbacks that I feel played pretty good. Eason has a little accuracy problem, but he has strong arm. He holds the ball a little too long. And Sam, he knows how to scramble. He gets rid of the ball fast. I think he did a pretty good two-minute drive. I think Eason played pretty good. Boy, they're going to really have a battle figuring out which wide receivers to keep. And I think that's a good predicament to be in Indianapolis Colts fan. I still think, I like all our running backs, but I think on that left side, that left tackle, I feel like the running back is going to have to chip whoever's rushing on that side until Fisher's able to get in there. I missed a little bit of your show. Did D-Cott call in?
Uh-oh. He did.
Hold on, Reggie. If I said he did, y'all both agreed on the same things, man. Does that still mean he's a dummy, in your words?
Oh,
he's a dummy because we'll never agree on the same thing. He just posts stuff to make people mad. That's
you guys
why he posts
upon
stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, you
called in and he agreed with what you said. But,
he didn't talk so much smack when Carson Wentz went down. He like, the season's over with, ha, 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 ha. They're losers, you know, because he left the Colts for New England and Washington all because we didn't draft a Alabama player. You know, he like a little woman. I know this is probably politically incorrect, but he cries when he don't get his way. like a little woman. Like a little woman, D-Cott cries. You got it here first.
We're going to have a woke police after the show, Brandon.
No. D-Cott is listening right now, and he is on Facebook. He said, cut him off. He brings nothing to the show other than being a troll. I'm ashamed I know him, and players,
oh,
not
man.
Player.
I'm not a troll. He's the biggest troll that I know. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. I'm switching a little bit gears because I just came in on the conversation where y'all were talking. You know, about Justin Fields. And like I said, with the Colts and Bears, one preseason game doesn't prove anything. I think Easton should get the starting job. But on the basketball, man, Isaiah Washington for the Pacers. Oh, man. I think we're going to be okay running this back. I think the only thing we need to figure out is the point guard, because Malcolm Brogdon needs to play the two. Or small four. And I think that's about the only thing. I think Kiefer Sykes may make the team because they rescinded the offer of Stanley. If he doesn't make the team, I think they're going to keep him on the man. They're going to keep him on the man ass, I think. If they
that's family.
If he doesn't make the team. Huh?
I said, and that's family, too. That's from the Sykes family, right?
You know, I don't think he's family. I'm on Ancestry.com. His name ain't popped up yet. I'm still trying to track. You know, maybe he can help you with my season tickets or something. You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, Deacon did say Pacers Nation is all you agree upon.
Okay, let me tell you this, too.
Uh-oh.
Alabama shouldn't be number one. The Tide should not be number one. When it comes to Tide, when it comes to the Tide and Nick Saban, is he really a good coach, or does he just always get the number one draft class and the players make him look good? Because when he was at Michigan State, he didn't look like that.
Oh, man.
When he went to the pros, he didn't look like that. Didn't he come back down? Yeah, no. So I think if me and Brandon got the number one class, we could win national championships all the time. Fuck the Alabama Tide. Fuck the Alabama Tide. Next, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hey, now, easy now.
We got them going second or third. We got them going second or third. It's a tweener between them and the Ravens being second or third, depending upon. But, like, yeah, nobody's necessarily on the Pittsburgh Steelers bandwagon, not even Brandon. We said the Browns is going to win that division.
Oh, yeah.
I never count the Steelers out because they the Steelers.
Oh, wow.
That's no matter how much I hate them, I mean, I don't like James, but you never count James out until he's out of it. You never count the Steelers out of it until they're actually out of it. I mean, they have a way of making things go. Their fan base, wow. Their fan base is an awesome fan base. Even though I hate them, they're a great fan base, and I got to give them props. I like the Hall of Fame speech that Elgin James and Peyton Manning gave. Those were great speeches.
I know. You said that right.
Elgin James came from. I did? Okay, well, let me move on to the next subject.
Justin Powell chimes in and says, Sykes hates winners.
Justin Powell's an Alabama Tide fan within the last 5 years. I bet 10 years ago he was cheering for Notre Dame or the Miami Hurricanes. Just like D-Cott used to cheer for Notre Dame. Before that, D-Cott used to cheer for Oklahoma. You know, he was a Sooners fan. In the words of Chris Brown, these hoes ain't loyal. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that because I'm getting mad dealing with these losers. Get a team, cheer for the team, and keep that team. And I'm going to talk about some other teams next week other than the Pacers and the Colts. Hey, one question. Who do y'all have winning the fight Saturday? Pacquiao or the guy's replacement?
Oh, Pacquiao's going to win that.
Pac.
He's going to win that.
Pac was going to lose the fight to the other guy, though, Spencer.
You think
yeah,
so? Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think he's got
yeah, he was
going to
lose Spencer. Hey, and this is not a guaranteed win for him either. I'm just letting y'all know. You know, let's talk a little boxing, UFC next week. You know, and I appreciate your friendship. Birdsong, I'm on my way to the gas station to get a super Snicker bar because
thanks,
you
man,
act like D cop, and I'm out.
Thanks, man.
See you, Reg. Wow.
Man. How you follow that up, man? You got to go to an ad read, buddy.
I don't know. He brought the heat, and, I mean, he took it easy on my Steelers. I'm good to see we're two for two. Last 2 weeks, Reg, we're all right. So I appreciate it, Reg. Even though you forgot to invite me for golf this week. So other than that, we're going to do a quick ad read. We come back. We're going to start previewing a little bit of the college football season.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I also want to thank our other sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, John, located down in beautiful Miami, Florida. Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. They ship worldwide, as I said. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. Put those LED lights on Reggie's truck so you can see his ass coming from a mile away. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com, or give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Tell them, hey, Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, we are back, and we're going to dive right into the next thing. By the way, I guess before we dive into it, I want to get your take on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you post on Facebook, I guess it was Twitter the other night, talking about Imani Bates. He's meeting this week with Memphis and with Oregon both. Well, Penny Hardaway, who just got Rasheed Wallace as an assistant, will they go and bring in Imani Bates? Is he going to go to college? Is he going to go pro? Is he going to go to one of these other leagues until he goes to the NBA? And with that being said, how about Overtime Elite, offering a four-star guard that's possibly going to go to Purdue, offering him a $1.2 million deal? What's up with this, John?
Yeah, capitalism. I know real quick, capitalism has hit college basketball. And any basketball traditional purist program thought that a lot of these other entities, whether it be the G League or Overtime Elite or you know what I'm saying, a one-and-done school like the Kentuckys and Memphis of the world, wasn't going to be players. Now the NIL named Jimmy Likas is in play here. You know what I'm saying? you better be ready to be strapped up, man, for you know, the recruiting has gotten a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? A whole lot hot and heavier, man. So I know Imani Bates. You know what I'm saying? He's 15. You know, we've known him since you know, saying 2 to 2.5 years ago when he was 15 years old, and putting up 40 on seniors and juniors. And he even reclassified himself so he could start his you know what I'm saying his career as a you know what I'm saying outside you know what I'm saying from outside of high school earlier. If I read the, you know what I'm saying, but I know guys, you know what I'm saying, the, you know, Penny Hardaway and even Izzo in Michigan State still in his ear trying to get them to come to us because he's a difference maker on the basketball court. But I think the reading's on the wall, ain't it? Like, he's going to turn pro either with Overtime Elite or with the G League. And then, you know, like now, you know, the G League is even more viable, a way of coming up. It just kind of depends, like, what kind of contract can be negotiated. Jalen Green, forgo, you know what I'm saying, didn't go to college this year. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, I know you saw him in the summer league, and you saw the talent kind of bounce off the, you know, off your screen. I watched, you know what I'm saying, a lot of his tape in the G League. Unfortunately, I got a lot of time, right, late night, watching a lot of G League basketball. And G League basketball plays kind of like summer league, so it really wasn't a surprise for me to see him excel at that level. I think he will struggle just a little bit when he gets to when the regular season kind of starts, but you can see the talent level. You can see what you got. But again, he didn't go to college, and you know what I'm saying, and he got his money early, right? And now he starts his rookie contract and all that early. So just, you know what I'm saying, just fast paced. So I think Imani Bates is on the same kind of path. I don't know why colleges are even like bothering with it, cuz again, he's going to have him for one season and that's it.
Right. Okay. All right, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, what it is. I mean, Overtime Elite, which I knew of them, but I didn't know much about them, that they could offer that type of money. Until recently. Yeah, I know, right? So it's like you said, it's opened up a whole different spectrum. So we've got, let's see, about 30 minutes left in our show. We're going to have to push one of these conferences to the next show or do 3 weeks of college football previews, it looks like. But we're diving in. You can feel it, John. Nice, cool, crisp Saturday in September, 10 a.m. You're getting your day started. People are out apple picking. Yeah, as long as you get home in time for lunch and that 3:30 game on CBS, for now CBS, college football season is back, 2 weeks away, week zero. College football, loving these lines. The lines are already out for these games. We've got our gambling college football correspondent with us again, Tanner Penrod, this year. Me and him will be going through lines. Jonathan's favorite, Scott Frost, has got some issues where he's being investigated now out there, which how you can invest. How do you cheat? Here's my question. How the hell do you cheat and you have nothing to show for it? That's when it's bad. So we'll be talking those. We're going to dive right in, John. Let's go our big conference, one that matters most, the Big Ten Football Conference here.
Yep.
Ohio State, I think they're the clear-cut team, once again, of the Big Ten this year. Looking at that team, they've got the kid that just reclassified that went from his senior year. He's going straight to Ohio State.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. But you got C.J. Stroud, M and Jack Miller as your quarterbacks for the Buckeyes this year. They had to replace JT Barrett. But, John, I have no reason to believe that the Buckeyes do not go and run the table once again here in the Big Ten Conference.
I don't – go ahead, Brad. Finish it up.
No. I was just saying with that, I like Ohio State there, obviously, to win the East Conference. Penn State's going to be much improved this year. John, the more I look at it, 17 for Indiana, I don't know.
It was kind of high, but I told you.
It is.
High.
I don't think they're as good this year. I really don't. I'm sorry, Hoosier fans. You're going to hate me.
Well, I can't. Everybody. So, like, when I say everybody, so Ohio State, we'll start at the top. Ohio State did lose a lot, but they also got a lot back, you know what I'm saying, with recruiting and in the transfer portal. And when they get a lot, their lot is still, you know what I'm saying, twice as better than what Wisconsin might have or even Indiana, who I think those two teams will challenge Ohio State for Big Ten honors, to represent the Big Ten at some point in the Rose Bowl. I really do. Indiana is still a little high to be ranked number 17. I give credit for Tom Allen, what the culture he's brought to that team. The wideout, Trey Fifogle, reclassified for a fifth year. He took the fifth year, the NCAA, you know what I'm saying, offered him. So he's, you know what I'm saying, he's just trying to put his more talent out there on display, right, as a wideout, so that he can, you know, some potential to get to the NFL. The biggest thing for IU, though, will be the health of Michael Penix Jr. and another star safety, McCary Ball. McCary Ball, I think I said his name right. Yeah. Both of them come back from major knee, from, you know what I'm saying, ain't no such thing as a minor knee injury. So both, yeah, both of them come back from major knee surgeries. And again, we know Michael Penix can be dynamic either, you know what I'm saying, running, and in hell, he's a hell of a passer too. So I think that team's different. You know, I know they lost to Ole Miss last year in their bowl game, but I think they're a team that's definitely different team, obviously, you know what I'm saying, when he's behind center. You know what I mean? They do have a lot of guys. You know, so there are a junior and senior lady group. But again, you know what I'm saying, when you look at it from top to bottom, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Penn State, Ohio State, still there. There's going to be more people, you know what I'm saying, itching to, you know what I mean, to, we're not in, I'm not using COVID as an excuse. I think some of the bigger programs, like Penn State, they got behind the eight ball. And then the Mission got behind it, got down, you know what I'm saying, in the stats 0-4, 0-5 to start out the season. Then, you know what I'm saying, for lack of better words, they kind of quit. They went through the motions. How about they went through the motions of playing out the regular season? So once they knew there was nothing left to play for, you know what I mean? I think we get better trying out of Minnesota and Penn State and the Wisconsin of the world. And that doesn't necessarily bode well for IU. You know what I'm saying? IU could still be there at second or third, you know what I mean? Because Illinois ain't. I'm sorry if anybody from the Illinois program is listening. Like, I know Lovie Smith is gone now. They got a new coach and whatnot, but Illinois ain't gonna. I mean, they're in rebuild mode. And
didn't they get Bo Pelini? Isn't he their coach now?
Yeah, Pelini. They're in rebuild mode. I don't necessarily. I didn't believe in Northwest last year, even though they won their division mathematically. But
right.
Again,
sorry,
you know,
Brett
Bielema.
Brett Bielema. That's who it is.
Like Bo Pelini.
He does. No, he does. They're the same person. Tell me they're not.
They're doppelganger. But, like, nah, man, I think the top teams, guess what? I ain't said Michigan. Sorry, Big Blue. But again, Ohio State should be number one, and then everybody else will be challenging. Everybody else will be kind of scratching to see, you know what I'm saying, if they can knock them off. And I don't think everybody consistently from top to bottom has enough to knock off Ohio State. But they will try. Wisconsin, IU, and Penn State will be right there fighting for second and third.
Yeah, Ohio State's improved, obviously. Penn State has improved. You said they got a little behind the eight ball last year with COVID. They've improved their roster. Wisconsin, who was projected to finish third in the West, just goes 10-2 and shut out four of their six opponents last year. No big deal. Wisconsin's loading up this year. I've got them to win the West. I think you got Ohio State, mm-hmm. Wisconsin rematch once again in the Big Ten Championship. Indiana and even Michigan, a little bit bigger of a year. I got to play it, right? This is the big year for Harbaugh. We said it last year. The guy's coming back. They gave him an extension after a shitty season last year. Michigan's even improved a little bit with their roster. But, John, you look at Indiana, for a team that's ranked 17th, for a team that was in the top 10 that went to a bowl game and lost against Ole Miss, and you compare this roster and their recruits to these other teams in the top – in the Big Ten or even in the top 15 in the nation, John, they – the recruiting class doesn't show as a top program. They're not getting the 5 stars. They're only getting a few 4 stars if you really look at it. As much as you like Tom Allen – this team is not improving enough to be a contender year in and year out based on their recruits.
Which is why I said they're top heavy. Senior, yes. They're going to lean on that senior, junior leadership this year. Next year, we don't know. Next year, it might be the same old, you know, the IU program. They'll be on the struggle bus next year if they don't get, like what you said, you know what I'm saying, a lot of 5-star recruits to come in there and believe in that Tom Allen system. Tom Allen, I listened to a little bit of his news conference. He wants this team. He said he has a lot of coach speak in him. You know what I mean? Obviously, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's BS, but still a lot of coach speak. He wants this team to play for one another and play, play for each other. And like I said, that means, you know what I'm saying, nobody is necessarily again, they have more talent in the senior and junior level. That means guys know the scouts and whatnot, and NBA scouts, I'm sorry, NBA, NFL scouts will be looking at them to see, you know what I'm saying, where they can potentially get this kid in the next year in the draft or whatever, or if they can bring him in for a free agency or whatever. So he wants to get kind of, you know what I'm saying, leave selfishness out and try to win. And he said it, try to win now. He's not necessarily worried about next year. I think you said it. They're not hitting on those top level recruits for the next two couple seasons. So it's win now, because like all eyes are on us, and we have a team that's capable of winning now. But they're gonna need a lot of things to kind of go their way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at a team that's not been doing so great since 2018, really, the Purdue Boilermakers. By the way, we did put our credentials in for the Boilers, so we'll see what we get this year. This team has potential. I just don't know if Brohm is really going to get it. He's going to need to get it, because that you talk about the hot seat for some other coaches. I think the definitely warm for Brohm to produce this team. John, this should be this best offense in 3 years. And the best defense in the last 4 years, and they should have enough winnable games on the schedule to open, and they could easily go 4-1 to start the season. That gives them a good shot at getting back to a bowl game in year number 5 for Brohm. They start out against a horrible Oregon State team. Horrible Oregon State. Right now, the 7.5-point favorite at home against Oregon State. Oregon State had one good win last year. They beat Oregon and really knocking them out and got them from the Pac-12 championship game. Then they go to Connecticut. Okay, Connecticut, I see no reason why they should be UConn. UConn is terrible, absolutely garbage. Then they go to Notre Dame, renew the rivalry, probably going to get their ass kicked up there in South Bend. I hate to say it, boiler up. But then they play at home against Illinois. Okay, right there, John, that's 4-1. Or excuse me, that's 3-1 right there. And then you're home for homecoming against Minnesota. Minnesota, I think, with Mr. Row Your Boat's going to take a little bit of a step back. Because they lost a lot of their star, Rashad Bateman and all them, to the pros. Purdue could start 4-1 before a bye week, easily. And you need 6 wins to get to a bowl game. They take on Iowa, at Iowa, home against Wisconsin, at Nebraska, home against Michigan State, at Ohio State, Northwestern, and Indiana. You could beat Northwestern, possibly, and you could beat Indiana at home. That's your 6 wins. And right now, if you're looking at an over-under, and I'm hearing a lot of sports bettors talk about it on radio, right now the over-under for Boilermakers is 4.5. And that's to me an easy bet to bet the over in that, because right there I just said the first 5 games they go 4-1, I believe.
Right. I don't like the game against them. You count the game as a loss against Notre Dame. I don't like them winning that game. They cannot in no way, shape, or form lose to Oregon State. They can't.
No.
If they lose Oregon State, he can consider himself fired. Whether he goes and beats IU at some point in this particular season, I don't think necessarily they have enough talent. Again, man, they have to get it and put it together. They still got
David Bell.
David Bell. I was gonna say Robert Bell. Robert Bell. Somebody else. Robert Bell's a good friend of mine. They still got David Bell, the wideout. Right, still have a weapon out there who is potentially better than the wideout that we kept on waiting for to play this past season. But like, no, man, they still have a competent team out there. They just don't necessarily seemingly. It's on the coach, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? Not to beat around the bush. It's on the coach, man. And what can he dial up? And can he play? Can he adjust? Game adjust, man. But again, like I said, they have to start out the season on very hot because again, it doesn't they have an unfavorable. They really have, I'm not saying they have a super tough hard schedule, but they do have an unfavorable schedule. That you know what I'm saying. We think about Notre Dame, we think about Wisconsin, we think about IU, and what they've kind of done with as far as culture and changing the perception of their team. Oh my goodness, they got to play Ohio State too. They are a team that's capable. Of beating Ohio State, but again, you had to play your best football. And again, that's all on Brohm and getting these guys motivated and putting the best plays in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. Big Ten Conference. We got more to talk about that. I think, like I said, Ohio State and Wisconsin are going to be cream of the crop. Me and Jonathan will do our picks as well later on for week 0 coming up and track it once again this year. We'll also do a guest probably this year and add guest picks in on some games. 1 week it may be D-Cott. Maybe 1 week it'll be Justin Powell. Maybe 1 week it'll be the king of trolls, Reggie Sykes. You never know who we'll put in with some picks. and we'll kind of do a guest pick 'em like they do on College Game Day, and keep track of that. So it should be a lot of fun this year. John, we got about 19 minutes left. We're not going to get to every conference that we wanted to, that we said, so we're going to probably push into a three-week college football period. But I do want to go ACC. ACC conference,
okay,
very strong again this year. Clemson, Notre Dame, they're not considering it in here, but Clemson, North Carolina, Miami. John, I love North Carolina. Last year, North Carolina put up 41 points a game. They did lose their top row two running backs and two wide receivers that were picked in the NFL draft. They returned Sam Howell, who I think is the Heisman. Sam Howell's going to win Heisman this year. Veteran O-line, 10 starters are back, and their best defense since 2010. You add that with Mack Brown coming. They don't play Clemson this year, and they host a game against Miami. That's probably going to be their number one key game this season. I love North Carolina this year. And then obviously Clemson. I think you get North Carolina, Clemson, ACC title game easily. Clemson's back. Obviously they lost NTN. They lost Trevor Lawrence. I want you to say his name, the quarterback name for Clemson. Come on.
DJ Ogilele.
That's good. You've been practicing it, I can tell.
I've been practicing, man. I hate butchering people's names. He's the heir apparent to Watson and Trevor Lawrence. We're probably going to see him playing on Sundays at some point. He did start, I do believe, two or three games last year when Trevor Lawrence was out with, you know, some relative issues, either COVID or injury. And he showed that he's, you know what I'm saying, belonging to Clemson. We know Clemson don't bring in guys they know they can't play. That's quarterback you for like the last couple seasons, right? I can't chagrin any of your picks, man. There's no reason why you shouldn't think Clemson and North Carolina would be heads of class of the two divisions they have in the ACC. Miami and Pitt will be right there as well.
Derek King's gonna be a huge comeback.
Yeah, the scary thing about North Carolina is they tease you, man. They look like they're gonna get somehow and be playing. They look like they're gonna be playing in that, they're gonna be invited to play in the playoffs or something like that, man. And then they take a bad loss against a team like a Virginia Tech, who's dangerous, very dangerous. You know what I'm saying? The Hokies are always, you know what I'm saying, usually dangerous. But I hope Mack Brown kind of gets his team focused. He's deserving. Again, you know what I'm saying, he hasn't won a national championship or been nationally recognized since the years of Texas. And we know how well that, you know what I'm saying, how that rotten deal, how they got him out of there. There's no reason, right, but again, he has an A-level quarterback in Sam Howell, returning quarterback who put up a load of passing yards last year in Sam Howell. I don't know about him next level. That's a different set of circumstances. It's a different set of questions when you talk about Sam Howell's potential as an NFL starter. But he should be somewhere. He'll be in that Heisman watch for sure. But again, this is the whole day. The ACC is technically, you know what I'm saying, they have a running back. Clemson, it's basically Clemson to lose. You know what I mean?
I love NC State. They've got 19 starters coming back from a 7-3 squad last year. They pulled North Carolina and Miami out of the Coastal Conference this year, and they host Clemson. That's got to help them a little bit with their win, their over total. I think they could go as easily as 10-2 this year, North Carolina State, and they could go easily as 5-7. I really do think it's that volatile for NC State. What they're going to do this season. Dave Doran, head coach, coming back. He's in there 9 years now. This might be his best roster he has. They got a tough one going to Mississippi State. Then they're home against Clemson. They're at Boston College, be a tough one. At Miami, a tough one. They're home against Louisville. They're at Florida State, which who knows what we're going to get from Florida State this year. And then they're at Wake Forest. And then at home against North Carolina. Their easiest win is probably going to be Syracuse, to be honest. Syracuse is just god-awful. God-awful between them and Duke.
Okay. Duke's going to be last, unfortunately.
Duke is – they may not win a game. I hate to say it, but Duke football may not win a game this year.
Clearly, they're back to the basketball school roots, man, in Duke, man, yes.
You got to feel – like, there's no reason why Dabo and Clemson should not be in the college football playoff, correct? I think we're both in agreement here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to see, and I think that's what's going to be the biggest thing with moving the college football playoff and the talk of moving it to expanding to a 12-team field is because, I mean, it's the Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State Invitational, and who's going to be that fourth team every year that comes in for the Invitational to go in for it. So, but I like Clemson this year. I think North Carolina can challenge them. Give them one game in the ACC championship. Can I see North Carolina possibly counting them out, knocking them off? I do. But like you said, how many times last year did Mac Brown and North Carolina is supposed to win these games, and I'm betting on North Carolina, and I'm sitting there biting my fingernails late in the fourth quarter because of them not covering a game or losing a game they should win, you know?
Right, right.
So that is our ACC. We'll cover more on that. John, I want to go to the MAC. Sorry, Pac-12. You're going to be pushed back another week. The MAC, Ball State Cardinals. Ball State, I'm in 36th, I think, on in the rankings. Predict the win back again this year. I can't say enough about this Ball State team. Bring them back all their starters this year. Your boy Drew Plitt coming back for a fifth season. Ball State, John, I think they could easily win 8 games this year. Go back to the bowl games once again. Love it. Mike New, they were 7-1 last year. They got a home game against – they open up in 2 weeks at home against Western Illinois. Credentials for that game, by the way. Then they go to Penn State. That's going to be a tough one in Happy Valley. Then they go to Wyoming. That could easily be a win. Yep. Then they start their home games. They play Army West Point at home. So get the option ready. I think it said that's Zimmer. Maybe that's Navy. Never mind. Anyways. Ball State Cards, man. 10 starters coming back, 10 defenders coming back. They're returning 44 Lettermen.
Yeah, they are favorite. Here's what I found interesting, man. It's even around Muncie, man. With this particular team, we're returning who they returned. And you mentioned Drew Plitt. They also bring back a co-defensive player of the year. And what's the kid's name? Brandon Martin. He's the Kobe's linebacker. Yes. Plays Ball State. They have an expectation to win the MAC. It's not necessarily that they're looking past, taking a loss against Penn State or potentially going on the road and having a hard fought loss against Wyoming. They think they're the program moving in the right direction where they can, challenge. You know what I mean? If they get blown out for Penn State, then so be it. But the rest of the season won't be a wash. That's what I took from the temperature around Munchestown, around the Ball State program. So this is Mike New's, I do believe, 6th year. There was a bit of the year before, there was a bit of like, man, people wanted him out. The fans wanted him out because they felt like Ball State wasn't winning enough. But I think, with the NCAA extending, guys an additional year because of the COVID year. Who said you need to get older? Was it Coach in West Lafayette? Was it him that said the older you are, or was it Villanova's coach? It was one of those coaches, basketball coaches, said the older just get old, stay old, and the older players have a more dedication and readiness for the game. The more seniors and juniors you got, the chances of winning improve, and that's what Ball State got this year. So they might take a loss to Penn State. I was kind of shocked they scheduled Army. Usually that's somebody else's. Army's always a tough out, whether you have respect for the program, whether you have respect for the quarterback, play or not, right? But Army's always a tough out. So
they've played six times in history.
Yeah, Ball State's moving in the right direction. So, again, we need David Letterman to start writing those million-dollar checks to the Alumni Association. I'm sure he gives a lot of money. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, big practice facility there.
Yeah, we need to get some more, some more top-notch level recruits so that we can start challenging, and getting more consistent with raising even more MAC banners even challenging, some more Big Ten schools, if not some SEC schools, to come down to Memphis.
Yeah. I think that looking at Ball State's schedule in the conference, John, I think their biggest matchups are going to be
this year they have the home game against Toledo. Toledo is going to be one of the guys challenging for the MAC there. Toledo, they beat them last year at the Glass Bowl, their first win since 2012 at the Glass Bowl. But they got outscored 15-3 in the fourth quarter and hung on to win 27-24. So that was nerve-wracking. But they have them at home this year, which is good. The trouble could be at Western Michigan. Western Michigan is going to have another good game. Ball State, they've lost 5 of 7 against Western Michigan the last 7 years. So Western Michigan's bringing back a good program this year. They were 4-2 last year. And that was a battle of a game last year. If you remember at the end of the game, at the end of the season, Ball State had to come back to win that game. But Western Michigan and Toledo are probably the two teams that are going to give a more of a fight to Ball State on that division there in the West. East side, you're looking at Ohio and Kent as your two teams there that would give Ball State some fits. So,
chirp
for Ball State.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What else do I have for you, Josh? We're a couple days away from CM Punk returning to AEW.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say SummerSlam. SummerSlam's on Sunday, but yeah.
No, CM SummerSlam's on Saturday.
Oh, man, thanks for correcting me. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's on Saturday. That'll be interesting to watch. It's going to be a good show. I did like the Cena Reigns talk that they had on face-off they had the other night. Jericho and MJF tonight here at 8 o'clock, their final match. I don't know how that's going to play out. We'll see there, but, hey, AEW, November 10th here in Indianapolis, our boy, KFAB Connection, Fred Feldner is in with us three going there. We'll get some good content there. And then I'm sure it'd just be me and you, John, because he has no reason wanting to go. I can tell, but November 15th, WWE Raw is in town. The 5 days later, Raw is down here in Indy as well. So a big week of wrestling there, possibly. We'll get the Crossroads Connection to go. I had a great time at AEW. Plus, I got to get a video this year of John singing Judas as Jericho.
Judas,
coming out.
Oh my God. that probably will never happen. No, man. The state of wrestling, it ain't the Monday Night Wars. By any slim of the imagination, man. But I think it's healthy. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching more AEW. I'm watching more National Wrestling Alliance on YouTube. I'm watching even more WWE. I'm flipping the channel between that and Rampage. I watched more Rampage last Friday for more so than anything because Christian Cage won the Impact. I don't know why they had two titles. But he won the World title. He won the Impact World title. From Kenny Omega this past Friday, man. I thought it was a pretty good match. I know there's a lot of criticism on AEW's booking, and does it make sense? I'm in that boat too. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but a lot of these guys and gals are just trying to get their name out. They're trying to get, you know what I'm saying, Vince didn't want them for whatever reason, and they're just trying to get their name out, and they're trying to play, and they typically, you see a lot of good matches, you know what I'm saying, whether it kind of makes sense for from a storyline standpoint or not. You do see a lot of good matches. That's one thing you can't knock about AEW action wise. On the other side, we talk about WWE. You're seeing a lot of good. You know what I'm saying? They maximize on the storyline. They want to make sure that the storyline makes sense from the psychology standpoint. Even if it, you know what I'm saying, it seems like we're having, like, you know what I'm saying, soap opera type of stories. You know what I'm saying, or dialogue. You know what I'm saying, amongst the performers. WWE does not like botches at all. You know what I'm saying? If anybody doesn't know what a botch is, that's when a suplex or a body slam or a move goes wrong, right? WWE frowns upon those things, and you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. Brandon, I watched the whole thing. I'll send you the link about how performers, when they hit the curtain, like, once something goes wrong. Like, so for instance, I know we're pressed for time, but, like, the match, I don't know if you ever seen the match between The Undertaker and Goldberg when they wrestled over in, I do believe it, Dave was not box heavy. Yeah, Undertaker was pissed. He not necessarily pissed at Goldberg, just pissed at the whole situation that they didn't have any chemistry. And, like, why would they book this match? You know, I know why they booked it. He knew why they understand why they booked it, but him and Goldberg don't have any chemistry. You know what I'm saying? Goldberg is a 1-2-trick pony, and he's a, you know what I'm saying, Undertaker needs at some point, like now, he needed somebody to kind of lead a little bit more for a match. So they just weren't necessarily a good a good fit. And a lot of those things, a lot of times we just think, oh, man, guys just go out there and wrestle, and that's it. Like, nah, man, they have to – there's some thought process, especially in that WWE locker room behind the curtain that kind of goes out before you hit that, because they want to be perfect. I think that's what's kind of preached. You know what I'm saying? As crazy as Vince is, you know what I'm saying, crazy and critical as we are about some of his quirkiness, man, he likes to pray for the fans to be entertained and walk away with a perfect perception of his programming. So no, man, but like I said, wrestling's like that. It's still in a good spot, and I'm all in. I fall asleep watching watch some form of wrestling pretty much every night.
Nice, yeah. I just rewatched the 93 and 94 SummerSlams the other night. So the Lex Express derailed. Lex Express derailed, and then in 94, probably one of the best steel cage matches between Brett and Owen there.
Yeah.
And then also the Undertaker versus the Undertaker match. So that was interesting.
Oh,
so one thing, our Kay Nichols, Farmer Insurance, Maverick Motorsport, our callers, Decott, Reggie, Sweet Lou, great to hear you again, once again, my brother. So our East Coast correspondent. So shout out to you. College football is coming, people. Pro football is coming, people. I can't wait. The betting lines are starting to come out. I'm already starting to look at the spreads and the movement for week one. I'm going to beat Jonathan this year. I'm going to go ahead and make that point right now. That's going to happen. John, I'll let you close us out, my man. Another great show.
Well, man, make sure if you beat me, you got to bet with your head, not your heart, or not your wallet, because I know sometimes you look at the spread too much, man. But, like, no, man, you hit the nail on the head, man. Thanks for all our callers, the friends of the program, for calling in today. It's great to hear from them. Obviously, thanks to both our sponsors, Mavericks Custom Motorsports and Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. Make sure you click their links that we have shared up on our page, on our socials, man. You know what I'm saying? It helps us tremendously a lot just when you just check out their services. And by all means, you know, see, not only check out their services, buy something from them. You know what I'm saying? Outside of that, I want to give everybody a spoiler alert. Next week, Brandon said we will be talking a whole lot of football. We also will be revisiting Ball State, but Ball State Golf, Coach Mike Fleck should be. I haven't got a tentative time just yet, but Coach Mike Fleck from the Ball State men's golf program will be on with us next week. Talk a little Ball State Golf and see what that direction the program is going, for sure. So, till then, folks, man, thanks for listening.
By the way, Walking Dead starts next week, I believe, so shout out to that.
Wow, there you go.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.